Good morning. It's great to see everybody. There's a big section missing over here because our Latin Spanish ministry is not here. They're having their own service today. I guess they didn't want to hear me. I don't know. I'll talk to them later. Amen. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share with the church this morning. I appreciate everyone here, all the members, everyone that serve in every capacity. I got to speak to the teachers earlier, and I appreciate their hearts being able to serve in the kids' kingdom, the ushers, the sound crew, the worship service, every aspect of the service. We need each other, and it's been great. So I really appreciate everyone. Yesterday, we had a celebration in our family. My nephew got married, and that was a great time in Montclair. And got to celebrate him and his Malcolm and his wife, Allie. And so it was a great celebration and time together with family. And I appreciate my family. My family is actually here today. Kennedy, my daughter Kennedy, and my daughter Amanda is here. Awesome to have them here. My sister Minnie, her husband Ben, my nephew Benji, his partner, girlfriend Bridget, and their daughter Cadence. So it's great to have them here. It's great to be together with my spiritual family, my physical family, and we need family, right? We do. So let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll jump into service. Dear God, thank you so much for all the ways you work. Thank you so much, God, for how you love us, God, how you believe in us, and just how you use us. God, I pray that you bless the rest of the service. God, be with me. Help me, God, to share the things that you have put on my heart, God, the things that you may want me to share that I may not have on my heart, God, that you'd use me to really to meet the needs of the church, to be inspired, to be encouraged, and to be challenged, God. We love you. We thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to start off with a slide. I have a slide presentation. There's nothing like Ashton has, but I'm trying, you know, a little something. But so we're going to start off with this picture of a gift. So I want you guys to think about this. If you were given a gift for no reason, it's not your birthday, it's not the holiday, nothing special, you're just given a gift, what would your response be? Thank you? Okay. For some, thank you. For some, be like, what? Where's this coming from? Where is this coming from? What's going on here? Am I being set up? Just be like this curiosity with, I don't know if this is a good thing or if it's a weird thing, you know? And I think, you know, we can sometimes be cautious with things that's unexpected, right? But I think about just a little kid during Christmas or a special holiday, and they're diving into that gift, man. They're just, the paper is flying. They're just like opening it. They don't even care. They're just going in for it, right? Now, if it's clothes or something like that, it's a different story. They're just throwing that thing on the side, going to the next gift, right? But they're just going in, you know, because they love gifts. They just love opening. And so I want you to think about this. If that gift, you receive that gift, you decide, you know what, I'm going to accept it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to open it and see what it is that's inside. You open it up, it's empty. Nothing in it. You're like, what in the world is this? What's going on? Like somebody duped me. It's kind of like those white elephant times, you know? Sometimes when you get this gift, this crank gift, and you're like, what's this? Who did this? I've done that before, just to confess. But they're like, you know, you can be surprised with just like, man, what's going on here? Why are you doing this to me, you know? And if you turn to Ephesians 2, and we read Ephesians 2, verse 8. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." You know, God gives us gifts each and every day. And we have to decide by faith if we're going to receive it. If we're going to step in to see what is it that God is trying to give me. What is it God is teaching me? You know, and the Bible says here, this gift we receive by grace. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. It's just given to us. You know, and as we accept it and we step into it by faith, God is excited. The same way we're excited when we see kids open a gift, God is excited when we step in by faith to the gifts he's given us. God wants us to continue to step out into faith and to discover all the gifts that he has given us. And I think how we continue to do this is in three areas. And three areas is how we continue to do this. One is recognizing the resource, recognizing the return, and recognizing relationships. So I got a gift here from Kennedy. She gave me this gift as a fan. Because I get hot and I sweat. I'm good so far, it's nice and cool in here, but gifts are awesome. We were just talking about gifts, right? So I received this gift, even though it's pink. I'm grateful for it. Thank you, Kennedy. So just, you know, recognizing these three things, I think is critical for us to continue to be able to discover the gifts that God has given us. You know, in Romans 1, let's talk about recognizing the resource. Recognizing the resource. In Romans 1, I'm going to read. Okay, Romans 1, let me get there. Romans 1, verse 17. It says, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, the righteousness that is by faith. From first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." You know, the source, the resource is so important for us to know what we're connecting with, right? You know, God makes us right in his sight. This is a blessing, and it's God's grace that we be able to have this. But it's a process. It's a process that's involved. And it involves faith. It involves perseverance. It involves humility. You know, we're all sinners, and we all fall short each and every day of God's grace and God's glory. But his grace is just continuing to lavish upon us. You know, and just as human beings, our sinful nature and our default is to normally pass on dysfunction. Dysfunction is so easy to pass on, you know? We don't have to do anything. It just kind of just happens. But to pass on the righteousness takes effort, takes work, takes focus, takes sacrifice, takes a lot of work. You know, I remember trimming the bushes in our backyard, and I'm trimming the bushes with the electric bush trimmer, and I'm going away and doing all right, right? So all of a sudden, it stopped working. The trimmer stops working. I'm like, what in the world happened? What's going on? I look back, I cut the cord. Didn't even realize it. It got wrapped up in the bushes. Whoop. I didn't even realize it. Cut the cord. And the thing stopped working. Here's the challenge. We got to make sure we're connected to the right source. When we get disconnected, we stop working the way God wants us to work. We stop functioning. You know, we got to make sure we're connected. Another story I remember, Kennedy's car is at our house, and I don't drive it as often, but I was having an issue with it continuing to die. The battery kept dying. I'm like, what's going on with this car? I'm trying to figure it out. So I have this slogan where when it's different things I'm trying to fix, be it the house, be it a car, it's YouTube, God, and a few good men. That's how I go at it. Bring God into it. I'm looking on YouTube, and I'm talking to a few good men. And so I approached this way, and my neighbor was the few good men this time. And so he helped me out and asked me some questions, and he does a little side work. And come to find out, the alarm light in the car that was continuing blinking was draining the battery. And he helped me discover that. So now it's working. It's fine. So I disconnect one of the terminals, leave it, and then when I come back, connect it, and everything's fine. It's all good. It's like, wow, amen. So simple, but can be so complicated, right? So the thing I want to encourage and ask us to think about, what's draining you? What is draining you? And it could be something so small. It can be something big. But you have to decide, are you going to dig into it? Are you going to get into the details to try to figure out what it is that's going on? What's draining you? What's taking away your power, your connection of being able to function and be who it is that God wants you to be? You know, this life is challenging, and it is a spiritual battle going on. Like, Satan is busy, and he's coming for all of us. He doesn't want us to be connected. So he's going to be throwing distractions and trouble and anything you can think about to try to get us off track. And we have to make sure that we're looking back and making sure that we're not disconnected, that we're not cutting off God from the things that we're trying to do for him. Amen? You know, there's different things sometimes that we try to connect to and get our resource from, and we got to be careful. Like I said, the spiritual battle. You know, we have AI, we have ChatGPT, we have social media, and we have a lot of noise going on around us in social media and the political environment, all these things. Like, those are all sources, but they're not the source. And we got to make sure that we're connected to the source, which is God, which is his word. Amen? You know, the other thing we got to remember to recognize is the return. The return. Recognizing the return. You know, and I think about just with recognizing the return, I think it could be challenging, really, to see the return, to see the value, especially during times of transition, right? The Murdochs moving on and being in Mercer County, the new leadership structure in the church here, right? Any other thing you can think of? Jobs, job changes, job losses, grief, death, right? Transition is challenging, and it takes faith to step into transitions. And the thing is, guys, is that transitions in Ecclesiastes 3:1 talks about how there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. So everything and every activity, that covers a lot, right? So transition's gonna happen. It's just a matter of time, it's just a matter of how, just a matter of when, right? Transition is gonna happen. You know, James 4:14 talks about tomorrow. James 4:14, it says, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you have to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it themselves sins. So we got to make sure we're having the right perspective on time, life. Life is fragile. It's delicate. So just really recognizing and seeing, man, this is a blessing to have this moment, to have this time, to have this marriage, to have this relationship. Just really seeing the value of all these things, seeing the gift of God, the gift that God has given us. So how do we navigate through transitions? You know, I think about a few stories. I think about Jesus, and it's cool that Jim was sharing about this, when Jesus was with Mary and Martha after Lazarus had died. You know, Jesus went during a time of transition in their lives that was very challenging. Lazarus, their brother, their beloved brother, had just passed, and Jesus' friend. Jesus arrived after he had died. But in that transition, he was present with them in the moment, showed empathy, showed love, even though he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead in a few minutes or a few days, however long it was. He knew he was going to raise him from the dead. And he didn't tell him, hey, stop crying. What are you doing? I'm about to raise him, you know. Everything's going to be okay. No, he wept with them. He was present with them in the moment. Brothers and sisters, we got to be present with each other in difficult moments and transitions. We need to be present with each other the way Jesus is. You know, on the boat, when the disciples were traveling and it was the storm and they were scared and Jesus was sleeping, they woke him up and he just calmed the storm. Peace. Peace and chaos. We just sung about that a little bit. Peace and chaos. Jesus, he didn't rebuke them. He didn't challenge them. He didn't go off on them. He just said, hey, you know, just, it's okay. Peace. Peace and chaos. I really think, you know, in certain situations, we got to be careful and we have to read the room on different things. So how we approach people and situations so that we can act and not react to situations. You know, Jesus was present in all these situations, and we have to strive to be present for each other. You know, I think about for myself, just transitions. A lot of you guys know that I was working at Bed Bath & Beyond for 25 years, hoping to retire with them. And what happened? They went bankrupt 2 years ago. No job. Thank God for some of my 401k, that's in something else. Thank God for that. But I didn't get anything, no package, no nothing. It was just, yeah, you have a couple months and that's it. And that was challenging, transition, you know? So I took a break for a little bit because I never was unemployed. So I took a little break and then started looking for work, and it was challenging. Older guy in this particular level of management, really challenging to get something. Eventually, I got something. I worked for a couple months. This place was unhealthy and toxic. So I'm like, Lord, take me off or something. Get me out of there, either give me something else. And so God got me out of there. So I was like, amen. And I told him, thank you. So, amen. So then I started collecting again unemployment. So the first go around when I first got employed, unemployed, I wanted to pursue school. And so the first round of my unemployment, God was closing doors. I was doing a lot of work, going to my former school, Berklee College, and getting transcripts and making calls and going to Rutgers Newark, all this stuff. And nothing developed. The doors did not open. If anything, it was closing and making it more challenging out of the Passaic County office. And that was really frustrating. And I think I may have expressed my frustration to some of you guys. I know Denise felt it. But it was really, really a tough time. So then now, this second go-round after leaving that job, I said, let me try again. Let me try again and see what God's going to do. Let me go to Bergen County this time. So I went to Bergen County, and so I went there, and they said, hey, you got to come back on Wednesday, which I went on a Monday. They said, you got to come back on Wednesday. I came back on Wednesday, and it was this whole, like, lecture, you know, just a rundown of how and what to do, and they gave us the whole rundown of if we wanted to go to school, if we wanted to become more skillful, or if we wanted to do this or that, and it was great. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And then after that, I was able to talk to the representative that was in charge of making decisions for the state for school through unemployment. So it's like, hey, I'm going to be courageous, man. I'm going to try to see if I can talk to this guy right now. So I was able to talk to him right now at the moment, and he invited me up to his office, and we're in his office talking, and he pulls up my information in the computer system, and he's like, hey, I don't know, what's going on? Why are you not in school? Everything is here. Everything looks fine. It's like, get me your classes, and let's get it going. So no joke. 2 days later, everything was approved. Amazing. Amazing. So from 2 months of nothingness to 2 days of yes. So I'm like, what in the world? What's going on here? So looking back now, I see what God was doing. God said no during that time because the church was going through transition. The leadership change, the Powell's retirement, a lot of transition was happening, and there's no way I would have been involved or be able to be involved in all of those things as an elder and be in school. It just wouldn't have happened. One of them would have failed, and God saw that, and God said, no. But we're in a better place. I went back. When I went to Bergen County, we were in a better place. And God said, yes, very quick. So I know we all have stories. We all have our stories. And I want to encourage us to see the value, to see the reward, see God in those stories. I want to give you guys a little challenge, 40-day challenge. Remember, we used to have those 40-day challenges. I'm going to give you a 40-day challenge to try to recognize God each day in some way or another. Like, how has God blessed me today in this area? What did God do today in this or that? Just make a note for 40 days, recognizing how God is moving in your life. You know, as we see God move and work, it builds up our faith. It builds up our confidence, and it helps us to just want to do more, to be more faithful, right? To be willing to step out, to be willing to step in to stuff, to be willing to just be used and available for God. And, you know, I think as we see and recognize, you know, it's just God is just going to continue to give us more and more gifts and bless us. You know, I think about the story in John 20. John 20, verse 14. You know, I talked before earlier about how Jesus showed empathy. You know, in the transitions that Mary and Martha was going through before he raised Lazarus, and then the storm of trouble, how he was there. But in this passage, Jesus was present in the tomb of uncertainty, I see. In John 20, verse 14, it says, at this time, and this is they're speaking about Mary, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize that it was Jesus. He said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," and I may be saying that wrong, but it's teacher. And Jesus said, I'm sorry, let's stop there. So just this passage is so powerful. There's so much going on here. You know, and I think, you know, recognizing Jesus sometimes can be challenging. And for Mary, going into the tomb, she didn't recognize Jesus. I'm not sure why. It could have been from her tears that maybe distorted her vision of being able to see who he really was. Maybe, I don't know. And maybe she just didn't recognize him. She didn't recognize his voice. And I think for us, we have to make sure that we're striving to recognize Jesus, striving to recognize his voice in our life, being in tune with him, in tune with the Spirit, listening to what it is that God is trying to call us to. But that requires us being quiet and being still, because there's so much noise going around us. There's noise. It's trying to distract us. It's trying to get us off track, trying to get us caught up in things. But here in this passage, you see, at the end, Mary turned to Jesus. And that's what we have to do in challenges and transitions and confusion and things. We may not recognize Jesus. We may not understand what's going on. We have to turn to Jesus like Mary did. And when we do, he got us. He got us. He's present. Last thing I want to share about is recognizing relationships. You know, and we're all created to be social people, right? But sometimes we can get off track. I know I can. And just be selfish, you know, and not want to give, serve, or be social, right? And I think sometimes that has to do with just being afraid, wanting to control, not being sure, and just being uncertain about things. But, you know, that is something that, you know, God wants us to be social. He wants us to be a community. And I think sometimes it's things that we do and things how we can be that takes away from that being able to be developed and maintained. So I really encourage us to not give in to our sinful nature. You know, the Bible says that we need to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, right, so that we can serve God. We're not going to be able to serve others and build a community if we're thinking about ourselves and not sacrificing ourselves rather than just being selfish. So we need to really, you know, just strive to be servants and not selfish. You know, it's easy to kind of go to the negative, the default of our negative mindset, the criticalness of that we may have about things. That's who we are, our sinful nature. You know, maybe judgmental sometimes. You know, and I think about, you know, in James 3, the passage comes to mind, James 3, it talks about the tongue. James 3, verse 7. It says, "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a vine, a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The tongue is powerful, it's dangerous, but can also be encouraging. So we have to be careful how we speak to each other. We have to be mindful of how it is that we come, how we deliver our tact. You know, I'm just keeping it real. I'm just seeking the truth, you know, and that can be good, but it could be dangerous because it's going to have a negative effect on the person that's receiving it. But you know what? It has a negative effect on the person giving it too. It does. You know? I think about this word residue. And I'm excited to play paintball at the men's retreat, man. I got all my stuff, man. Anybody need something? I have extra stuff. Y'all can borrow it. We can shoot each other, man. It'd be great. Great time of just being able to release stress and have fun. And it's great. But residue in a paintball gun, if you don't clean it after you did an event, is residue inside. And you know what happens? It don't work properly. So if I don't clean my stuff before we go, I'm going to be taken out because the balls ain't going to be coming out right. They're going to blow up inside. It's just stuff is going to happen and it's not going to work right. You know, and I think about too, we just went through this water main break in Patterson, and we had to boil out water. And then after the restrictions was lifted, I had to drain the whole hot water heater and the furnace and then run the shower and run the faucets it was a process, man. It took all day. But you know what? Residue is built up there. And if that didn't happen, it's going to affect how that functions, how a water heater functions, how a furnace functions, how a shower functions, right? A lot of stuff. You can ask Robert's a plumber. He knows about this stuff. But it's, you know, just, it's important to recognize the buildup and the residue. You know, our heart has a little build and ding. When we give away, there's also a ding that's left on our hearts. We got to make sure we're addressing our hearts and looking at our hearts, because it's the inside that needs to be cleaned. And when the inside is clean, the outside is going to show that it's clean. Amen? So guys, let's make sure we're dealing with the residue that may be there. You know, 1 Corinthians 12, 22 and 24 talks about the body and being many parts, right? And how we need to be considerate of those weaker parts, those parts that's indispensable. We need to be aware of and just really pay special attention to and tend to, right? So to build relationships and build community, we have to make sure that we're being mindful of those weaker parts. What are those weaker parts? I think about people like that may have mental health issues. Those are the weaker parts. Those being affected by the political climate that we're living in right now. Those are the weaker parts. You know, people that don't look like us or don't act like us. Those are the weaker parts. And brothers and sisters, we need to be able to be considerate if we want to build community of all those weaker parts. We can't overlook them. We need to step into them, see what they need, hear them, give them our time, hear their story, and not be just waiting to jump in when they take a breath, but listen, really listen. You know, it's a word that Michael Burns calls this, and he calls it spiritual bypassing. And we need not to do that. We don't need the spiritual bypass on people's challenges. We need to be able to step in, serve, hear, listen, and connect with them. You know, we talked about contribution, and we give contribution. We need to give also to the body, to each other. We need to make sure we're given to each other to build community. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 1 is my last passage. Thank you guys for hanging in there with me. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." You know, Paul is an incredible example right here of being a source of comfort. You know, and I want to encourage us and call us to be a conduit of comfort as well as one who considers the weaker parts in the community. You know, Paul, he received comfort, he received love, he received, you know, encouragement from God, from others, and then he turned around and he gave that back away to others. You know, the source is God, but we need to get it, but then we need to give it away. You know, comfort is powerful. It's a powerful thing. It means to strengthen, to aid, to listen, to encourage, to give hope. You know, Paul shows to be a conduit of comfort for us here. He received comfort from God, from others, and then he turned around and gave it away. So let's be considerate of others and be a conduit of comfort for others as we address the residue that's in our life. Now, I just want to close with this quote here. This quote says, God made a promise, faith believes it, hope anticipates it, patience quietly awaits for it. And this is D.L. Moody. So this morning, guys, I just want to encourage us, as we may wait, let's strive to recognize the need for the right resource that will bring us a return that's valuable and relationships that are rich and deep. Amen? Amen. Thank you.